And the journey known as BTN Live continues. It is our third day of doing a radio show here at the network. Thrilled that you are joining us. I am Mike Hall. I'm joined by two, just lovely gentlemen. John Jansen, former Michigan O-lineman, NFL veteran, long time with the Redskins. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, but I don't know that I've ever been introduced as a lovely individual.
Well, that's really not an adjective used for football players a lot, is it?
Lovely. Yeah.
And Brandon Williams, man, he's lovely. Wisconsin wide receiver a long, long, long time ago, also an NFL vet, sir.
Really?
Yes.
Long, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
He's older than me. John Jensen's older.
Well, lovely actually fits for him.
It does. If you see Brandon, you'll see. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, your Twitter says in your bio, quote, "I'm smart, handsome, charming."
You know, I get a lot of flack for that.
Yeah. Why would you get flack for that?
I can only be who I am. Don't get mad at me.
Jeez. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to have a discussion with Le'Veon Bell, the star Michigan State running back. Venrick Mark, who had a massive punt return for a touchdown, will join us. Minnesota's John Raybould had two overtime touchdowns in their game Thursday evening. We'll give us a chat. Plus, we'll hear from our expert Tom Deanhart from BTN.com. There's a lot to get to, though. Let's start with the top stories from the day. And this one's kind of a weird one. Penn State and Ohio State, they now can win the leaders' division. You know, of course, that they're not able to play in the postseason, not able to play in a Big Ten championship game. But the Big Ten came out today and said, actually, technically, they're still able to be champions of the division. They're still able to get the trophy. How do you feel about that, John?
Well, you know, if it wasn't spelled out in whatever penalty they had that they couldn't, then it gives them something to play for. And, you know, normally Ohio State, yeah, we had talked about this earlier off the air, normally they're not talking about, hey, this leaders division or a Big Ten championship. They're talking about a national championship. And what they want to do is collect those trophies along the way. Mm-hmm. But for now, that's all they have to play for. So I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really, like you said, along the way. For especially a team like Ohio State. Ohio State's looking national championship. Urban Meyer's there. They're getting all these top recruits. Who knows how they're getting them? I don't know. They're taking them from Wisconsin, but who cares? Taking them from Michigan, but who cares? And I think they are thinking national championship every year. I don't really think that they're worrying about a division title.
I think my main point on this, though, is more so that, like, it just seems weird. It seems like a headache the conference doesn't need. That, let's say it's a rematch. Let's say Michigan State and Wisconsin play again. If Wisconsin loses the leaders' division, they will not be the champions playing the Legends champions in the game. It's not a major deal. It's kind of a semantics deal, but it just kind of seems weird to me.
Yeah, it is weird, and it's crazy to think. So I think where you're going with this is that they need to just say Penn State, Ohio State, you can't be the leaders division.
Right.
You can't win it, period. So let's not get all this craziness and let whoever wins out of the teams who are eligible for postseason play, go ahead and let those guys worry about playing in the Big Ten championship. Let's just throw it out.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's good because it keeps all 12 teams in the mix. It makes every game that they play relevant.
Yeah.
You know, and if at the end of the day, especially, you know, when it comes to that last game of the year where it's Michigan and Ohio State, if Ohio State has, you know, they're always going to have pride and a lot of things that go with that game to play for. But if they don't have a chance to, you know, be a part of the division or a part of the Big Ten championship, then I think it takes away from that game, however minuscule it might be.
Yeah, but still at the end of the day, there's always other motives besides winning a leaders division championship. We're not going to minimize what that really means because obviously that's a ticket to the Big Ten championship. But still, I think these guys are playing for more. I think Urban Meyer will put more of a carrot in front of them that, hey, you better be playing hard. If you're not playing hard just because of that, then you're out of here.
Let me get to something quickly that is not involving Ohio State or Penn State, teams that have nothing against them in terms of postseason, but actually have super postseason potential. That's Michigan and Michigan State. Perhaps you heard that over the weekend, the Michigan State players who played on Friday and were able to watch the game Saturday, including Michigan-Alabama, were tweeting some things. Well, there were a handful of them that went out that were not very nice about their friends at Michigan, including one linebacker saying, quote, "I can play quarterback for the school in blue." Brady Hoke came out and said it's not a big deal. Mark D'Antonio said our guys need to keep their mouths shut. What do we make all this?
Well, I honestly think both coaches handled it as best as possible. I think Mark D'Antonio did a great job of trying to defuse the situation because whether it upsets Brady Hoke or not, he's not the one that's going to be on the field. It's going to be the players. It's going to be the guys that are listening to it. And let's face it, especially out of Michigan, a lot of these guys played high school football with each other or against each other, and they've been rivals for longer than it's just been Michigan, Michigan State. So this is a much more personal, personal attack than it is, you know, just another rivalry school.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, you would never have really heard guys saying stuff like this in the public like that. It's only locker room talk, but now they're saying it in social media. It's crazy.
You know, one of the guys on one of those teams was so good this past weekend that you could easily say he was the most impressive player in the country after just 1 week. You don't get to say that every week. You don't get to say that in every conference, but we have that guy. He is going to join us right after this break as hashtag BTN Live continues.
That's 245 pounds jumping over a defensive back. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was unquestionably the star performance of the weekend, not just in the Big Ten, but across the country. It was Le'Veon Bell's 44 carries, more than 200 yards, 6 grabs. He was quite impressive Friday night against Boise. I'm Mike Hall back here on BTN Live. And Le'Veon joins us now from East Lansing. When I talked to you right after the game on the field, I wanted to ask you about the leap. And you said you didn't really remember it. You were just kind of focused in the moment, and it happened. So let me ask you this. Have you ever done one of those leaps before?
I have, you know, a couple games so far in my collegiate career. I have a couple times, yes, sir.
What kind of reaction did you get from this one?
When I was watching the film, you know, with the other running backs, you know, those guys were really excited for me. You know, the offensive lineman, you know, right after the play happened, you know, I remember them banging me on my helmet or whatever. So, I mean, I know it must have been a pretty good play.
I heard your mom had an opinion on the play as well. Is that right?
Yes. You know, she, you know, ever since I first started doing it, she never, you know, agreed with me doing that. She gets so upset with me when I do that. But, you know, I always tell her, like, Mom, it's just kind of in the moment, you know, it just kind of happened. So.
So did she call you, like, after the game and give you a hard time?
No, she was at the game. You know, right after the game, you know, the first thing she said to me was, like, boy, stop jumping over people. So, you know, before she even told me good game, you know, she makes sure she tell me about how she feel about that jump. But, you know, she told me good game and everything.
Describe for me this. What was the locker room like after the Boise win?
You know, I mean, everybody was celebrating. You know, we was real happy with the win. You know, but at the same time, we know we got so much more we can do, and we need to get better. You know, but that's what we got this week for, you know, just to take another step in the right direction, and hopefully we overtake things and go in the right direction.
Anytime you get a win, it's good, and especially what an idiot. Have the coaches
in, you know, coming in and watching the film, you know, the coaches made sure we knew, you know, the penalties and the turnovers. You know, that's some things we got to clean up. But
why is Everett not telling him that he turned out?
Hello.
Experience and with the reps they got in the game, you know, I feel like those things should turn around. We go clean those things up.
I want to ask you a little bit about your head coach, Mark D'Antonio. I've had a chance to know him a little bit through our Step Into My Office show and through post.
What, he thought we were all going to be silent on him? Yeah. Hey, let's get Paul.
Right.
Shh, don't talk.
It's going to mess them.
Yes, hello, Everett.
Mike, for some reason, Paul.
At the very end? Okay.
Oh, you hear him now?
Yeah, we can't. Our mics are cut, but.
Yeah, we can't hear
Paul. If he's got a problem to walk his lazy butt over here.
Okay, but he told you when the interview wrapped.
Well, we couldn't. Yeah. Well, we could hear you, but you couldn't hear us.
Yeah, you loser.
Yeah, we were
calling
you
a moron.
Think, yeah. No, we were sitting here.
You don't realize a joke is going to come, and then when it comes, it kind of hits with a little added oomph.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Coach, that's what I love about Coach D. You know, he doesn't take everything too seriously, you know, but, I mean, he most definitely serious about his job, and, you know, he's about his business and everything, but, you know, he makes sure we're having fun, and we love this game still.
What was it he said yesterday that made you laugh?
I mean, it's a couple things. You know, he would talk about, you know, us having the turnovers and, you know, penalties in the game, you know, but he could turn around and be like, but we could clean those things up, right? And he just gave us a nice little silly, you know, face with it. And, you know, he just had the team dying, you know, because people know, we always know when it's coming, but we just can't help not to laugh.
What do you remember from your recruitment?
When I came to visit and when I was getting recruited, you know, I feel like, you know, he's a very honest guy and, you know, he always kept it real with us. And, you know, when I was talking to him, you know, he just made me feel a lot real comfortable about, you know, being here. And, you know, so if I was going to drive four and a half hours away from home, you know, I want to make sure I'm comfortable in the situation that I'm in. And he made me feel comfortable. And, you know, he always been honest with me, you know, from day one. And, you know, that's what I really respect about Coach D.
I'm on Twitter. You're on Twitter as well. Who, and you don't have to say me, is your favorite person to follow?
My favorite person to follow? That's a tough question. I follow a couple people, but you know, I like Michael Blackson. You know, he's hilarious. He's a comedian, and I like Cat Williams. Those guys are funny.
Every day he's hustling.
Yes, sir.
What was the best Twitter shout out you got after Friday's game?
Wale, the Wale the rapper, he had shouted me out after the game. You know, telling me I had a great game and whatever.
Some of your teammates mentioned Michigan in some tweets over the weekend. So how did the team get addressed on how Twitter should be handled this week?
You know, Coach D just told, you know, the guys, you know, some of the things that were said on Twitter wasn't smart. You know, we're more a classy team than that. We just got to, you know, talk with our pads, you know, not over Twitter. And, you know, he feel like if we got anything to say about, you know, any other teams, you know, we should just keep it in the locker room. You know, don't say it publicly or, you know, if anything, just give the other team praise, you know. And, you know, it's a little learning step. And, you know, those guys are going to learn from their mistake. And we're going to just keep moving forward and getting better.
One of the other things I noticed from being at the game on Friday night was the three new mammoth screens in Spartan Stadium, plus the big video board. What do you think of those?
I love those. You know, those things, you know, put great value into our stadium. You know, make our stadium look, you know, so much better. And you know, the lights is really bright in our stadium. You know, and you know, you can really see a lot of things. You know, the camera is HD, so you know, you really can see yourself on the, you know, the camera. So, you know, it's a great. Experience, you know, playing with those things in there.
When you're on the field, you catch yourself ever looking up at the big screen?
Yeah, most definitely. I look up there, you know, so much. You know, just about after every run, you know, I always look up there and make sure I didn't miss anything or, you know, see what the defense was doing. You know, even on the replays, you know, I always make sure I did that.
On the road against Central Michigan this week, what's been the focus of practices and the meetings thus far in preparation for them?
Just making sure we go out there and not beating ourselves, you know, with, you know, penalties and turnovers. You know, we want to eliminate those and, you know, and go out there and just work hard, you know, get back to, you know, running the ball, make sure, you know, guys not missing blocks or we make all the right checks, make sure I continue to run hard and keep my conditioning up. So, you know, we going to just keep learning and moving forward.
Le'Veon Bell, congratulations on the great game week one. Good luck the rest of the season, man.
Thank you so much.
Cat Williams, nice to know he still reaches all generations, huh?
Mike, you are so cool. You're on Twitter. Yeah. Every day you're hustling and things like that.
Yep. Someday cool. I'm going to talk about how I'm smart, handsome, and charming on Twitter. Or maybe I'll just leave that to you. What'd you take away from Le'Veon in that segment?
You know, I think, you know, he represents the university well. I think he did a great job of handling everything you threw at him with the, you know, regards to the tweets and all that stuff. And I really got to hand it to him. I think they're handling success very well. They had a great, successful, really the last 2 or 3 years. They played well in this first game against Boise State. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell was, you know, the for lack of a better term, the bell cow. And they're handling themselves, I think, appropriately, as they should.
Yeah, he's definitely maturing as a football player, being able to take the load, knowing going into games, I'm going to be the guy who has to do what I have to do every game. I have to show up every day. So he's just maturing as a young man, as a football player. And, you know, he's a huge guy, but his mom still doesn't like him jumping over people's head, which is even cooler than anything else. So.
Well, the thing is, too, it's nice for Andrew Maxwell to have him there, to have an experienced guy who can take it 44 carries. He can dump it off to him 6 different times because – and listen, we disagree on this. I still think Boise's a really good team. And when you go up against that defense, it's okay if you don't have the greatest day because you just need to be okay to get a win.
Look, I know that defense for Michigan State, they come in the season, they were highly touted, they did some really good things statistically in that game, but from what I've seen, they still have some – it's early in the season. Everybody needs to work on some things, so they need to make sure they stay focused because – I disagree. I don't think Boise coming into this season is as good as you may think they are. They lost Kellen Moore. They lost Doug Martin, Tyler Shoemaker, who right. leads them in career touchdown receptions. So they lost a lot.
You know who else lost a lot of pros? Alabama. How are they this year? Great programs bring
can
in
we,
new
can
guys.
We please get off the Alabama-Michigan game.
You don't want that, a Wolverine.
No. But you know what? For Michigan State, I think their season sets up real well for them. You've got this marquee game that starts off with Boise State. And Maxwell, by all regards, did not play very well. He had some turnovers, didn't play well. They're going to go against Central Michigan. He'll have a chance to learn from his mistakes. I really think that he needs to – really progress this week. From week one to week two, he needs to see a big jump in my efficiency, my accuracy, my decision-making, because when he was under pressure is when he made his interceptions, made bad throws. Mm-hmm. After that, they go to Notre Dame, and it's going to be another big test for him. It'll be a big game, and a lot's going to be riding on that, as Notre Dame does against Purdue this week. So they're setting up real well to have a big game and then have a game where they can make some corrections and then followed by another big game and make something happen.
One thing they really need to work on is those penalties. And, Mike, you touched on that in the break. They need to work on that because moving forward, that's something that's been kind of hurting them in past seasons is them being able to not get penalties, be focused, no personal fouls, being mature. And I think that Twitter incident shows that they still have somewhere to grow.
We will ask our expert if Le'Veon Bell is now entrenched in the middle of the Heisman race. That's coming up right after this. BTN Live continues on your radio. Brandon Williams, John Jansen, and Mike Hall here. You can reach us on Twitter at #BTNLive. You can also be on Twitter to follow one of the most informed men, not just about college football in the Big Ten, but across the country as well. His name is Tom Dienhart, and you'd think you two are lovely gentlemen. Hoo-hoo. Watch out, ladies. Here comes Tom. Tom, let's start with this, the Heisman race. It's obviously way too early to get super serious about anyone, but it's also really fun to sort of see who's on the radar of Heisman voters. So after week one, which Big Ten players are at least on that radar?
Yeah, Mike, you know what? Going into the year, we said Denard Robinson, Monty Ball for sure. We're 1-2. Pick your order. I think after 1 week, though, Mike, those guys have already fallen off the Big Ten Heisman radar. You got to be looking at Le'Veon Bell at Michigan State. You got to look at Braxton Miller, too, right? The quarterback at Ohio State just had a sensational ball game. Those are a couple guys front and center. And I think also, Mike, you have to throw in Taylor Martinez, of course. The Nebraska quarterback had a debut I don't think anybody expected with 5 touchdown passes. So those are, I think, right now, 1 week, Mike, those are the top 3 Heisman contenders from the Big Ten.
And just to be clear, Denard and Monte could be right back in the discussion with a big game this weekend, right?
There's no doubt about it. This thing is such a moving target, Mike, as you know, John and Brandon. This thing is very lucid and changes from week to week. So, yeah, there's no doubt that Denard and Monte can get back in this race ASAP.
Well, you talk about changes from week to week and year to year. How many wins are you thinking that Penn State's going to get this year?
You know what, Big John, I tell you what, it may only be 2 or 3 at the most. Talking wow. to people going into that game last week, they all told me they've got it. They had to win that Ohio game. They had to win it for a lot of different reasons. It was obviously a winnable game. You're playing at home with all that emotion. But, again, to come out flat and not finish the deal, I think that's a real bad sign for Penn State. And like I said, could only lead to maybe a 2 or 3 win season this fall for the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Yeah, Tom, we've seen this Northwestern team put up a lot of points. We've seen Kane Coulter do some really good things. But in that final drive, he kind of gave way to the backup quarterback, Seaman. What do you think? Is there a quarterback controversy up there?
I don't know. I tell you what, if you guys were watching the end of that game like I was awfully impressed for a kid to come off the bench in that hostile environment with your team down, with no emotion at all, and to come in and engineer that game-winning touchdown drive to me was just awfully remarkable. And you know what? Kane Coulter is going to keep the job, obviously. He said he was banged up. That's why he gave way to Trevor Siemian for that last drive. But again, you got to wonder if that offense does bog down. Maybe if Fitzgerald won't be a little quick to pull the trigger and maybe put Trevor in there.
Hey, Tom, you know, we had a couple of teams win big in the first week of the season in Indiana and Minnesota. How many wins do you think Minnesota can muster this year with a fast start?
I tell you what, John, I think there's a chance for this team maybe to start 4-0. I know that may knock some Gopher fans off their feet, but look at the schedule. They got FCS New Hampshire this week. And I tell you what, the rest of the games, the non-conference, all are very winnable for the Gophers. So I think they can get off to a 4-0 start with a chance then just to win, what, two Big Ten conference games, get you at 6-6. So keep your eye on Jerry Kill's crew. I do think it has a chance to have that breakthrough in year two and get to the postseason after a 3-win debut for Kill last year. And as far as the Hoosiers go, I do think 2-0 is obviously possible for them as well. They're going to UMass this weekend. But I don't think the Hoosiers are going to get to 6 wins. This may be a team that can win 4 overall, and if they can get at least one Big Ten win, guys, and they had none last year, I think that will be improvement for the Hoosiers. So I look for Minnesota maybe to get as many as 6, and for the Indiana Hoosiers to come in somewhere between 3 and 4 wins overall.
6 wins would be amazing for Minnesota. We're going to chat with John Rabe coming up, the guy who had 2 overtime touchdowns for them in a little bit. Got about 30 seconds left here, Tom. Let me end with Purdue. That seems to be maybe more of a quarterback controversy than anything. They've got 3 guys that can be starters. One was supposed to start, didn't start. That's Caleb Turbush. Robert Marv did, played great. Where does Danny Hope go this weekend?
Well, he's going Caleb Turbush, even though, obviously, like you said, Mike, he was suspended. I think the coaching staff, Mike, thinks that Turbush is a safer choice. He's more likely to play air-free football, but he's not going to probably make you a big play either. Conversely, Robert Marv is more of an electric player who can make that big play to win you a game. But Robert Marv also can make that catastrophic mistake. So I just think the coaching staff likes Turbush. He's a safer pick. And again, you're going into a hostile environment at Notre Dame where Purdue cannot make any costly mistakes if it wants any chance to come out of Notre Dame with just its second win there since 1974.
Tom Dienhart, you're a good man. Thanks for the time, sir. Appreciate it.
Always enjoy. Take care, guys.
All right. Man.
You know, we talked a little bit about Northwestern there. You asked him about the Trevor Siemian versus King Coulter. Easy for me to say. We're going to talk with someone from Northwestern who was as important as any of those guys were because he had one of the biggest plays, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country this past weekend. And you're not going to believe where we go with this discussion. Yeah. I promise you some of the weirdest and yet honest stuff you've heard from a star player in a long time is coming up next. Back here on BTN Live. Mike Hall going to be joined by Venrick Mark in a matter of seconds as Northwestern had a scary win against Syracuse. They were up big, then they lost their lead, then they came back to score, and they had so many points partly because the junior from Northwestern, the running back and kick returner, had an 82-yard punt return for a score. And Venrick joins us now. Venrick, okay, you catch the punt on Saturday, then you look forward and you remember seeing what?
Nothing at all. It was a great punt. I remember looking up and knowing no one was within 20 yards of me.
So what's it feel like once you realize you've just busted past the last guy and you're going to score?
Just a sigh of relief. You know, once I catch it, you know, I use my vision to see which way I should go. Sometimes I always don't go to where the return is set up, but just so happens, you know, the Jet team did great blocking, and it was just like a straight lane. I wasn't touched at all.
In your entire life, what's the grand total of kicks you've returned for scores?
A lot. Honestly, I really could not tell you. I think my average was 2 when I was in high school per game.
No, you didn't do 2 per game.
Yes, really.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I still have the record of St. Pius right now back in Houston.
I'm curious what the locker room was like after you guys won that game, because on the one hand, it's a tough road win. On the other hand, you almost blew a huge lead.
It was a sigh of relief when we were in the locker room. As you said, we were up big, and then they came back. Syracuse is a great team, so I can't take anything away from them. But Coach Sitz always grinds on us about finishing, and that's what we did, and we got the W.
I was reading the Chicago Tribune this week, and when they were talking about you, they referred to your speed as, quote, comically quick. What's the best story you can tell me about how fast you are?
Just because of my size and I have a low center of gravity, and when I change direction, it's not really like I'm cutting. I'm literally running full speed when I change direction. Some people slow down and chop their feet, while me, I just jab step and then I go, which is hard for defenders to, because when you're a defender, you're taught to break down, spread your legs, get in kind of a basketball position, so that way you can't get faked out. But by the time they're getting in their basketball position, I'm already going the other way.
When did you realize you were fast growing up?
I would have to say about eighth grade when I first started playing soccer. Soccer was my first sport. My dad, he's Nigerian. He really pushed me to play hard in soccer. And then once I got into flag football, then real football, that's when I noticed, you know, that I was really quick.
There's a video online of you openly, freely, confidently saying your favorite movie is Mary Poppins.
Yes, sir.
And I quote, "I like the song Spoonful of Sugar. Plus, she seems like she'd be a great nanny. She fly, she can make things move around."
Yes, I really enjoy that movie. I used to watch it all the time. I used to have it on VHS, and I watched about two times a day. I just really like Mary Poppins.
Wait a minute. You would watch it twice in a day?
I would come home from school around 3-something, and if I'm bored, then I would probably watch that movie. Then I'll go outside, play tag or something, run around, come back inside, take a shower, eat, play some video games, pop the movie back in, and watch it again.
Did your buddies make fun of you at all for that? I mean, twice in one
day. Yeah, some people did. But, I mean, it's Mary Poppins. How can you not like her?
You know, you were a wide receiver, and now you've switched to running back basically in the offseason. What led to that decision?
Coaches came up to me, and they thought I would, you know, better help the team at running back, and I just came with open arms, and I accepted it. I wasn't mad at all. I played running back in high school. And I just took on the challenge. I really do like running back. I know I'm not a big back, but I believe I'm physical. I just use my speed and my momentum to the best of my abilities.
What do you think about the new uniforms?
I love the new uniforms. I mean, I really do like Under Armour a lot. They do a lot, and they have done a lot for us, you know, especially when it comes to our facilities and stuff like that. So we're just embracing it and enjoying it.
Before I let you go, I also read that you're a big fan of Dance Dance Revolution. Is that right?
I am. How did you know that?
I'm really good at my job, my man.
Okay. I'm a big fan of that, actually.
How often do you play?
Not very often, but normally when I go to places like David Buster's or stuff like that, that's the first game I'll play. And I'll probably be on it all the whole time I'm there.
What's the best?
I don't go bowling. I don't do any of that. I just play that all day long. And it usually draws a big crowd.
Venrick, I would love to see you do Dance Dance Revolution. I'm going to see if we can't get our feature team to go shoot you doing that one time.
All right, we can do that, definitely.
Vanderbilt this week in prime time on BTN. Venrick, Mark, thanks so much for the time. That was good to get to know you.
All right, thanks, Mike.
I don't know what was a bigger surprise there, him being surprised that I knew so much about him, or the two of you being surprised at his favorite movie choice.
Hey.
Oh, come on now.
Look,
Mary Poppins?
I don't even know if I even seen the movie. I may have seen it because growing up, you never know. But what's up with that? Two times a day? Watching Mary Poppins?
Nah,
come on, man.
I've got four young kids, so I have to see it quite a bit. And I'm not kidding you that I can't imagine sitting in my college dorm room watching a movie such as Mary Poppins and having my roommate come in and not wanting to kick my butt.
Right.
But I want to see John Jansen do Dance Dance Revolution.
Hey, man.
That's who I want to see.
I've been on record saying this before. I am a phenomenal dancer.
What?
I mean, you
phenomenal.
You have lost people that don't know.
Yeah,
people,
I go on record as saying
people that don't know. You've lost probably what 70 pounds.
I've lost about 75 pounds.
But hey. What are you still height and weight right now?
I'm 6'6", 255.
Wow.
I would love to see you dance.
Oh, I tell you what, I'll bring in some video for you guys. I've got an aim, man. I'll hit YouTube with it so everybody
can
watch.
I want to see you challenge Venric Mark to Dance Revolution, and then we'll see.
I tell you what, yeah, you put me at a wedding reception, give me a couple of pops.
Uh-oh.
I'm ready to roll.
How about he averaged 2 punt returns or kick returns
per game?
Who kept kicking to this young man?
Right. Right.
St. Pius in Houston. I need to go send my kids to that conference so they can get a scholarship for returning kicks.
You wonder if there's maybe a little.
Come on,
bit
yeah.
Of,
yeah, hey, I got to hey, check. Yeah. You know a lot about him, so you probably could find out if that's true or not.
There might be. I mean, I believe him that he holds records at the schools. He might hold state records, but
I mean,
that's.
I watched the game. I seen him. He looked really good. He's very quick, fast. He scored his touchdowns, but come on, 2 a game?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, hopefully that was interesting and entertaining for you. We'll see if we can get anything close to that from our next guest, a man who didn't score 1 overtime touchdown, but 2 this past weekend. That's coming up. This is BTN Live. The week that was in the Big Ten started off earlier than normal on Thursday with Minnesota winning an exciting game, triple overtime against UNLV on the road. I'm Mike Hall back here on BTN Live. We're joined by a senior tight end for the Gophers, John Rabe. And John, you're joining us because you had 2 touchdown grabs, both in overtime. Where does that game rank among the favorite games you've individually played in?
It's up there. It's probably number 1. Just kind of pulling through at the end of the game and setting up for my teammates and my coaches and really giving all the credit to my coaches for making those play calls, knowing what the defense was going to do. And it definitely ranks up there. I've only been in the Big Ten. This is my 2nd year coming from junior college, so it's probably number 1 right now.
3 overtimes on the road in the Nevada heat. What was it like playing in that game?
It was awesome. I mean, it was first game, first opening night of college football for the 2012 season. Late night game. The weather wasn't too bad. I mean, the sun went down, and the atmosphere was really good there. We had a lot of Gopher fans there right behind us supporting us, and it was a really fun way to open up the 2012 season.
What's the best way to describe what your role on this team is?
I'll block the – I'll play H-back, and then I'll split out and play tight end. I'll catch balls. I'll block D-linemen. I'll lead up on linebackers. I kind of do multiple things in the offense, which I really enjoy. I'm not stuck at one position. They can split me out, and then they can put me in the backfield as well and catch passes or lead up on run plays. So, and I really enjoy it, kind of like a mixture of different things.
Okay, but it doesn't have to always be scoring multiple overtime game-winning touchdowns, though.
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll do anything for this offense to be successful, and it's all about the wins, and no matter how we do it, it's always a good thing if we get the W.
Well, that bar might be a little too high to reach every week, I suppose.
Yeah.
If you had to say the one biggest thing that feels different about this year's team as compared to last year's, it'd be what?
Just confidence and being comfortable with the coaching staff and the offense, I'd say. We know what scheme, we know what the coaches expect, and we know what our offensive game plan is and what they expect. So we go out and practice every day. Last year we kind of were still figuring out what the coaches wanted out of us. This year we know exactly what they want, and we know what we need to do to be successful, and we're a lot more comfortable with our offense and our game plan in each and every week.
What words would you use to describe your relationship with Marquise Gray?
I'd say one where we're always talking to each other. Like, in practice, if we're not connecting right, we'll always go talk to him and figure out what we need to do to be on the right page. And during games, I'm always going to talk to him and ask him what he's seeing. So we communicate a lot with each other just to make sure we are both seeing the same things out there. And if we're not on the same page, making sure we're on the right page so we can be successful.
Tell me something I wouldn't know about him.
I don't know. Do you know he's a father of two kids, so twins, actually?
That's right. That's right. Twins, as of last November, I think.
Yeah, then he's doing a great job with that, and he's balancing a busy schedule, and he's doing a great job as our leader and quarterback, and I know he's a great father, too.
What are the goals for this team this year, John?
Just to go out and play every week, do our hardest, and I think if we do that, we'll definitely be in a bowl game. And our goal is to win a bowl game this year, and I think that's not out of the reach at all. That's what we expect to do. And we just got to go out and play every game, take it one at a time. Like this week, we're preparing for New Hampshire. We're taking New Hampshire very seriously. We know it's not going to be a walk in the park. And we got to take it every one game at a time. And if we play hard every week, the results will come out in our favor, I think.
You said it. New Hampshire Saturday, a noon Eastern kickoff on BTN. John, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Yes, thank you.
John and company got the win last week, fellas, but it wasn't crazy impressive. You look at the final score and you're like, 30 points. Oh, all right. Well, then things must have been clicking for him. But, you know, that's more because of the what I consider to be a crazy rules we have for college overtime, which is probably a discussion for another day. We don't have time for that now. However, in regulation, they just had 13 points. Still a road win, still a win for a team that only had three last year. To start off 1-0 is great, but overall, what'd you take from that game?
Well, you know, you could say, well, yeah, they only scored 13 points in regulation, but they also only let up 13 points in regulation. Right. I think their defense is much improved from last year. That's kind of one of the things. Last year, if they were going to be in a game, they were relying on Marquise Gray to, you know, do everything, run, throw, score. And this year, it seems to be, at least in the first game, they're going to be able to count on that defense a little bit more than they could last year.
Yeah, I mean, the first 10 possessions, they produced 6 points, 2 turnovers, missed field goal, and just a single touchdown. That's not going to cut it. If you're looking at that game and saying, it's a lot of things that we need to work on as an offense from the quarterback standpoint. He had a few overthrows that he said could have been touchdowns. So you're a senior now. Those first game jitters shouldn't be there. You should be ready. You should be ready to go. You're the leader of this football team. You're a father. You're a dad.
Right.
So you have to be comfortable in your skin. And I don't know if this is really – where he can excel his best on this football team. And John, you've seen him a lot more than I have. I think this guy needs to just go to another position, period.
Well, yeah, in a perfect world, he could.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, who's going to be the quarterback at that point? You know, but I think, you know, building on earlier, Jerry Kill is, in my opinion, one of the best motivators in the Big Ten right now. And he can use about any situation and make that a positive and create some momentum going into the season. I think starting off with a win, and then following with New Hampshire, Western Michigan, I mean, they could be 3-0.
Yeah.
And the amount of momentum and the positive attitude that he can create in that locker room moving forward, I think is going to be huge.
I'll tell you one great thing for Jerry Kill and for that defense. Last year, the entire season, they had only 4 interceptions. They had 3 in this first game.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I think that defense, if they can step up and keep teams, you know, under 3 scores in terms of 3 touchdowns, Marquise Gray is going to be able to be right there and get some wins out of that.
Will they be able to get another win in this upcoming schedule of games? We are going to look ahead to week number 2 when we come back and wrap things up here on BTN Live. We hope that theme song is pounding into your head so that you'll never get it out. This is BTN Live. Mike Hall, John Jansen, former O-lineman for Michigan, former Wisconsin wide receiver Brandon Williams with us. Got a few more minutes left in BTN Live. Remember, this new show will be with you every weekday throughout the fall on this current radio affiliate that you are listening to. Let's look ahead to the games that grab our attention here. Coming up this weekend, week number 2, Iowa will take on Iowa State. Big 12 against Big 10, the two major programs in the state. One of the fun trophies, the Cy-Hawk Trophy. It will be newly designed. This will be the 60th meeting all time between these two. What are you looking for in this one?
Well, I'm looking for, you know, Iowa to gain a little respect back. They lost, obviously, a barn burner. I think it was 44-41 in overtime.
Triple
last
OT.
Year. And I think over the last 15 years, they're down 8-7 in this matchup, which I thought was an interesting stat. You would think Iowa would
be ahead more.
Would be ahead, yeah, but they're not. So, plus, right now, their trophy case, is absolutely empty.
Yes.
They've got no rivalry trophies in it. So if they can start off, you know, the season by regaining one of those rivalry trophies, I think it'd be a huge win for Iowa.
That's a little demoralizing. You have, what, they got four rivalry games, and they have none of the trophies, none of the pigs or the whatever it is they be playing for. That's not good. But like you said, if they can get this win against Iowa State, they pulled one from the chinny chin chin last week against Northern Illinois. So they got that win, get this big win, big momentum to try to finish out this non-conference schedule right. Who knows? Who knows? Kirk Ferentz. I always talk about the Kirk Ferentz fairy dust.
Yeah.
He has it.
He's found a way to sprinkle it over whoever he wants as his running back. I mean,
right.
Dan Bullock comes
in. Who is this kid?
He's like their ninth choice for running back in the last year and a half, and he gets 150 yards on the ground in the game-winning score.
Oh, well, come on now. Let's face it now. It's not – Kurt Ferentz is a former O-line coach. It's not the running back.
Right.
It's the offensive line up front.
I seen
a graphic. It wasn't in like six guys transferred or kicked off the team in the last 3 years from Iowa.
Or graduated. I mean, they've lost guy after guy throughout the line. There's a funny hashtag going around on Twitter. It's like angry Iowa running back hating God, or AIHRBG, whatever that is, which is pretty funny. They've been cursed by that. But they get that squeaky win, like you said, that will play Iowa. They're going to wear some throwback unis from their 1921 undefeated team in that game.
They've never lost in throwback unis.
Okay. Is that right, or did you just make that up?
No, I'm doing the Iowa game this week, so I've got all the Iowa.
He knows. He has all the facts.
They've done it twice before, and they've actually not lost when we're wearing throwback unis yet.
Wow.
So hopefully for Kurt Ferentz and the Hawkeyes, this will be another win for him.
Will Purdue beat Notre Dame, Brandon?
I am going to say no. They will not beat Notre Dame. And I don't want to really talk about Notre Dame that much, but they looked pretty good. Seems like they have some things rolling down there. They're very talented. Purdue has some pretty good players. They have, you know, the quarterback controversy that they got to get together. Diener told us it's not a controversy, but, you know, when you see guys make plays and things of that nature, you want to put them in the game. So, I don't know. We'll see. But I don't think they can go into Notre Dame and beat Notre Dame.
I think Danny Hope needs a win at Notre Dame. You know, they made a bowl last year, but he's been on kind of thin ice. And for them to get this program up and going and you know, to be able to get some of the big recruits, you need to beat schools like Notre Dame. You know, and whether Notre Dame's up or down makes no difference. They're still Notre Dame.
Right.
And if you can put one of those in the win column for you, that's a huge thing. Being at Notre Dame, I think it's going to be a tough win for Purdue. But Turbush is going to be back. He's going to be starting at quarterback, and he does make some pretty good decisions. You know, and if they need a big play, you know, they can bring in what's the other kid's name now?
Robert Marv.
Yeah. I really think that he's got big play potential. But you know, as we talked about earlier, he's also got that, you know, that big flub potential as well. So you know, they've got a good combination in those two. But I think Turbush is going to be the best guy to be starting off.
And I think Notre Dame's bringing their running back. He missed the first game, so the guy they're bringing him back for this game, I think he'll be ready.
Well, and their quarterback too. It wasn't the guy they were planning on starting.
Exactly.
Golson ended up starting for them. They're coming back from Ireland, so. Probably after a week, there's no jet lag or anything.
Dublin, Ireland.
After all, remember this is my favorite stat from last year, 34 first downs. That's what the Irish got on Purdue in their game last year. Let's turn to Penn State. Who knows where the mindset is of those players, but it can't be great after the loss they had in that game. So with now news that Belton was held out of practice, what do they need to do to win?
I mean, they lost – losing Belton – during the game, as we've seen, was tragic for them because he was making a lot of plays, doing a lot of good things. He was bringing a lot of energy to their offense. Without him, they kind of flustered and they were going every other way. But it's going to be tough for them. It's going to be one of the toughest seasons I've ever seen a college football team have to go through. And they're playing against Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
on
a slop. They're not a bad team. You know, they'll be well-coached and they'll be ready for this game.
No, and unfortunately, I think there's more tough years to come for Penn State. But I think that the best thing is that they finally have a game under their belts. They finally could turn the page and get moving on in the rest of the season. And they can just get a chance to play football and not worry about what's going on campus, not worry about anything else. Just go out there and play football.
Lastly, Michigan. You, Michigan boy, how do they bounce back?
Well, you know, and Brady Hoke has this quote, and I've heard some of the other players talk about it too. The important thing is that we can't let Alabama beat us twice. This is a week where we learn about our team's leadership and our motivation. I think there's nothing more true about that. They just have to come out, be Michigan, and do what people expect Michigan to do, and that's the win.
That's it for us. That was BTN Live. Brandon and John, I'm Mike. XM will carry us on channel 169 starting on Monday, 7 to 8 Eastern, 6 to 7 Central. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in a bit.